Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night host, Pastor Al Davis, with you live here tonight until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free. If you're listening, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight, and let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would just bless now the time that we spend on the air this evening. We do pray that it could be a help and a blessing to somebody this evening, and if there's somebody searching, that we can be able to point them to Christ. We just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, certainly good to be on the air tonight, and it's kind of funny, we came home, we had our church anniversary service today, and I think we were so tired, we laid down to just take a quick nap after everything this afternoon and woke up instead of a quick nap of about maybe an hour. I think it was about 3 hours later and finally woke up, and I feel like I've been running behind ever since, and normally try to not take much of a nap on Sunday evening coming to the radio program and all that. But we had a great time, and it's nice to have a few people out that visited for our program this afternoon. We had Eric Howitt, who was on the program with me on Friday afternoon. Of course, we have our Live with Pastor Al broadcast every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And he joined me last Friday. We talked about Christian music and the music ministry, had a good time, and even had somebody come out because they heard him singing and wanted to come out and meet him and enjoy the concert that we had this afternoon celebrating our church anniversary of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and we had a good time with that, so thanks to those that were out there. And also had a good time last night on Saturday night at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Pastor Andy Rusnacko, their annual missions dinner, and of course Pastor Rusnacko is on this station as well. In fact, he follows us on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock with the program. And you can tune into that as well, 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons right here on AM 1220. And so we had a great time. And if that wasn't enough going on this past week, earlier in the week, we were at Crusade Baptist on Wednesday night, kind of working backwards through the week here. Pastor Max McKenna and the people there had a great time. And we were talking about current events and Bible prophecy, and looking at coming war in the Middle East. And certainly that's a big topic if you've been following the news this past week. This past week started on the anniversary, 11th anniversary of September 11. And 11 years ago, of course, most of our listeners familiar with the attacks on this country. And then, of course, there were some commemorative events, but not to be outdone. Some of the jihadist groups, of course, commemorated 9/11 with attacks on the Libyan embassy on Monday, September 11, and killed the United States ambassador to Libya, as well as three other Americans that were there. And then, of course, attacks on the embassy in Cairo and things of that nature. And the excuse that's being given, and unfortunately, the United States ambassador to the UN today came out with the excuse that was given in the initial reports on it by our State Department, that it was because of a film that was put together by somebody here in the United States, and And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see any of that on the YouTube trailer or anything. It's a really pretty bad film. It's very poorly done. And it's just a grade school production probably would have been done better than the way that was done, at least what I saw on YouTube. But the film itself, which depicted Muhammad in a less than flattering light, was not the instigator of these attacks on our embassies, nor is it the instigator of the attacks which has spread to 20-some countries over this past week. And even as far-flung as not only the Middle East and North Africa, but also there's been demonstrations and everything. When we say attack, it can be anything from the rocket-propelled grenades that we saw in Libya to stone-throwing and attempts to scale the walls and graffiti and things like that, different things, breaking windows and smashing car windows out in the parking lot around it, that we've seen various protests taking place, even as far-flung from Middle East as Great Britain, Australia, and other places in Europe and Asia. And so they've been coming back to this theme that it's this movie. That's the whole reason for it. And people, you know, just want to ignore the fact that it happened on the anniversary of September 11. And there's abundant evidence that it was planned in advance. In fact, the Libyan government says that they warned the United States several days in advance that there's a potential for something to happen, and they chose to ignore the warning. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But if you want to comment on that or ask a question, and we can see how some of those things play in regards to Bible prophecy as well. But you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And as we've been talking about that, we had several times on the program, we've talked about some events that are taking place in the Middle East and how they play out. A lot of people have asked, you know, could this be a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 in the Bible? And, of course, I don't believe that what we're seeing now exactly is a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, but it could be a prelude to that. And if you go to our website, I've got it linked on there. I've got it linked on our church website. I believe it's linked on our radio program. You can go to latenightlive.maplenoll.us or just Google Late Night Live, or even if you go to the website for WHKW here, you can find it there as well, linked to our website there. But what we're looking at in Ezekiel 38, and the thing that's always kind of made me question what's going on in Ezekiel 38, is that when this invasion that's prophesied here in Ezekiel 38 takes place, the key to understanding what's going on, really, you can see that in verses number 10 and 11, where this invading coalition, we've talked about that, which appears to be composed of a variety of countries led by Russia, including Turkey and Iran, Libya, and Ethiopia, different places like that. But we can see that the motivation or the thought about coming in and invading Israel is given in verses 10 and 11, "Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." And when you think about the conditions in the Middle East today, it is far from a land of unwalled villages where people are at rest dwelling safely. Certainly, it's far from a land of people dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. In fact, Israel today is a nation that has a great deal of emphasis on security. In fact, just in August, they had several reports of of preparations and the idea that Israel will be launching an attack on Iran. The whole world is worried about that right now. They have been dusting off their civil defense plans in Israel. They've distributed tens of thousands of gas masks and instructing people and how to prepare safe rooms in case of chemical attacks or different things throughout Israel. So it's not a land dwelling in peace and safety. And certainly the armed checkpoints that they have to prevent Islamic terrorists from coming through and blowing up shopping centers, pizza parlors, and buses and school children and things like that in Israel. It's certainly not a land of unwalled villages without bars and gates. That's not Israel today. Something has to change. Something has to change dramatically in Israel before the prophecy in here in Ezekiel 38 can come to pass. And that's caused people difficulty understanding and figuring out when and where this prophecy could come to pass. Because of that, some people have thought and suggested that maybe Ezekiel's prophecy here in Ezekiel 38 has to do with the Battle of Armageddon. And some people suggested that. And some people suggested, well, maybe it has to do with the final battle. And a quick Bible trivia, most people think that the final battle is the Battle of Armageddon, but it's not. The final battle is found in Revelation chapter 20, where 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, this is following the Battle of Armageddon, the millennial reign of Christ, and after that, the devil who has been bound for 1,000 years is released on the earth again, and at that time, he goes out and raises up a number of people. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of or as the sand of the sea." And I don't think it's that battle either, because that's something yet in the future. And yes, Israel may be considered a land of unwalled villages at that time, but we don't know what'll happen during that that little season where Satan has an opportunity to deceive the nations, as it says there. We don't know how long that little season is. It could be a year, it could be 6 months, it could be 6 years. We don't know. And we do know that when that happens, Revelation 20, verse 9 says, "They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." So that's the end of that battle. So we don't know what kind of tensions may occur at that time. But and so for that reason, some people suggested maybe that this is the battle of Ezekiel 38 as well. Well, first off, the term Gog in Ezekiel 38 there, where he says in Ezekiel 38, starting verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog." Gog there is basically means a chief prince, and it defines that there. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And so Gog is the chief prince in the land of Magog. And, of course, we've seen where Gog comes from the Hebrew Rosh or O-S-H, and that has been linguistically connected with the origin of the name of Russia as the lineage of Meshech and Tubal. And I'm not going to get into that right here at the moment, but so we have Gog as a chief prince, and this is the head of this confederation here, which appears to be Russian, that is in confederation with these areas, along with such as Iran and Turkey and Persia, Ethiopia, Libya and Ethiopia, different places like that. And Gog simply is the chief of them that instigates it. They're the one that looks at the land of unwalled villages and says, "I'm going to go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." And he says in verse 12 of Ezekiel 38, to take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And that further suggests that we're talking about something more present day, though not immediately right now, because Israel right now very much is a land that was desolate. In the beginning of the 19th century, as the Jews were increasing in their numbers in the land, there really wasn't many people living there. Under the Ottoman Empire, the land of Palestine, which is where Israel is, was a pretty desolate area that was largely uninhabited. The Turks, who owned most of the land, had a lot of tenant farmers on them, and they kept raising the rates, and so the farmers would exhaust the land trying to be able to pay their bills, and then when the land would fail, they would move on. And even in the 1800s, we know that Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, the author of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, things like that, he visited that area, and he described it as some of the most desolate landscape he'd ever seen. And so the Jews came into the land, and they began rebuilding. They bought up a large part of the land, and I remember talking with a visiting professor from the University of Cairo who was out at Colorado State when I was out there back in the early 80s. And he said that the amazing thing that they saw is that when the Jews came in and began farming and setting up irrigation and all that. Now, this gentleman was Egyptian. He was Muslim. And he said it was like the land was waiting for them. He said the land blossomed for the Jews where it did not blossom for the Arab people. And he said it was remarkable to see it happen. And, of course, this was said to us back, that's probably about 1982, I think, when he said that. And it's true, the land really did blossom, and it's greened up considerably, and it's a very profitable, a very productive land now. It's a land that's now inhabited, and people that are gathered out of the nations have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And it's also no secret that in the 20th century, particularly since World War II, Russia has always desired to get a foothold in that part of the world and control that part of the world. Of course, Russia, mostly having northern ports, has always wanted a land access down into the Mediterranean as well as the sea, as well as the Indian Ocean, and that part of the world. Where Israel is, as well as the Arab nations that are there, would provide them with that land route down through there. And so that's been a desire on their part for decades. And then, of course, you have the resources that are there and the natural gas finds off in the Mediterranean Sea, just outside, off coast of Israel, some of the incredible mineral resources down in the Dead Sea Valley in that area, and there's still rumors that there may be oil underneath parts of Israel yet to be found as well, and so Russia's had desire to be there. You can see where they would want to go down there when the time is right to try and take that for themselves, to take a spoil, to take a prey, as the Bible says, and we have to wait and see how these things pan out yet, some of the things in the news, and we'll get to some of that again. But, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we welcome your call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here tonight. And getting back to talking about the situation there, of course, when Israel became a state in 1948, we know that immediately the Arab nations around them declared war and tried to eliminate Israel from being a state. That was their goal. That was their intent, and they were unsuccessful. And then, of course, there's been several major wars in the around Israel and involving the Middle East, and they've attempted numerous times to destroy Israel, destroy the Jewish state. and they have been unsuccessful. God has blessed Israel, kept them there. And today we're faced with a situation where Iran believes that it is their duty as Muslims to develop nuclear weapons so that they can eliminate the Jewish state once and for all. And the Ayatollahs that run Iran have stated that. The generals in Iran have stated that. Politicians such as the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and others have stated that. And, of course, Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization originated and sponsored by Iran, they've stated that. And various others have all stated that they believe it's their duty to do that. Of course, the liberal media and a number of our State Department people all say, oh, no, it's not. They have no desire to develop a nuclear bomb and to use it against Israel, despite the fact that they all of them over there state that. And we understand that Psalm 83, we have a list of some of the enemies against Israel. And it says in Psalm 83, I'll start here in verse number 2. It says, or verse number 1, keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And it goes on to list a number of the peoples that were involved there. And this statement, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That statement can virtually be lifted right out of some of the comments by Hezbollah, Hamas, the Iranian leadership, different ones like that. In fact, at our Friday night Bible study, at the Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come to that every Friday night at 7 to 9, we saw a thing online. It was a translation of an imam, I believe it was, or one of the Iranian ayatollahs, and virtually word for word said, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And so we understand that these things are playing out, and I think this in Psalm 83 is probably more of what's happening right now, and the battle that's right there could easily be what results in Israel then eventually being setting the stage for Ezekiel 38. Well, we've got a couple minutes left, but we've got a call here, and we have Joy calling in tonight. And Joy, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
I can't hear you.
Hi.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, real quick, because it's real faint. Galatians 3:13.
Right.
About cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Deuteronomy 21:23.
Okay.
His body shall not remain all night. It says, for he that hangeth is accursed of God.
Uh-huh.
And I know Christ was hung on the cross. I just said about cursed if it's everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Right. Let me get over here to Deuteronomy chapter 21. We'll go there first. And Deuteronomy chapter 21, and let's drop down to verse number 20.
Real quiet. Yeah. I can hardly hear.
That's okay. Yeah, you're coming in fine on my end.
Thanks.
Chapter 20, actually, I'll start in verse 21. The sentence starts in verse 21. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he is hanged as accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And of course, the hanging the body, hanging the body on the tree was there certainly as a punishment and a testimony for what these people had done. And it puts that in parentheses, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. And I think that was also partly prophetic, letting us know You know, when Jesus was hung on a tree, essentially the crucifixion, that showed that he would be accursed of God for us. That's the whole idea, that he bore our sins. In fact, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And as a result, he became accursed. Literally, Jesus, who was, God manifested in the form of a man, he knew no sin. He was not a sinner. He had no sin nature.
Right.
And so there was nothing for him to be guilty of. He was guiltless. But when our sins were placed on him, he became cursed of God. God the Father turned his back on the Son, and because he basically said that our sins were placed on him, and so he became sin for us at that moment. He was cursed of God. And so I think that's partly what that's talking about there. And in this passage here in Deuteronomy, though, says not to leave him up there, overnight, bury him that day.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, some of the other nations around Israel, they like to leave the bodies up there so that they would be essentially, eaten by the birds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an added form of punishment, in the idea that your body would not be buried, it would be given to be eaten by the birds, and just to further disgrace and dishonor to the person who had committed the crime.
Okay.
And the punishment for the crime was to be executed by hanging on the tree. But beyond that, there was no call for desecrating the body and things. We're out of time on this half hour. Stay tuned for another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to join us with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. You can call us 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church, as you heard there in the break, and we're located at 5171 Brecksville Road, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and certainly invite you to visit us there. And also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton, Ohio. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m., and you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. If you're looking for any kind of unusual collectibles, old Civil War items, stamps, coins, jewelry, even the kitchen sink, he's got that there too, I think, and a few other things. But let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you. 888-677-9673 will get you on the air. And certainly a lot of things happening in the world. Pray for our country. I was suggesting last night when I was at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, we were talking with somebody, and I said, think of it. There's three things that God has actually judged people for in the past. When their leaders have done these three things, we've actually seen God move in judgment against them. And I said, what did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed for? And it was because of the homosexuality that was rampant there. We have a president and administration that is solidly behind all these special rights for homosexuals. So that's one there. And then what did God use the Jewish people as an instrument of judgment when he sent them into the land to destroy the inhabitants of the land? That's when Joshua led the Jewish people across the Jordan into the land. And that was number two, because of their sacrifice, child sacrifice. And certainly we have the abortion rights activists have found a tremendous friend in our current president. And then number three, God said at least four times in the Bible that I know of in the Old Testament that he would judge or curse or bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And we've seen nations come under judgment for turning against the Jewish people. And just this past 2 months in particular, the turning against our ally in the Middle East, Israel, has just been a sad thing to watch. Everything from telling them they're on their own to denying the military support, the troops to operate the Patriot missile systems that were delivered there, to denying them the access to information from their early warning radar and things of that nature, and telling them that if they go against Iran, they're on their own. And so, and then, of course, the president this past week, Prime Minister of Israel wanted to meet with him when he was in the country. The president was too busy. He was too busy to meet with the leader of Israel. Instead, he had a pressing appointment with David Letterman to be on Late Night with David Letterman. And I think he was supposed to see Beyonce, I think, or something like that, some other people. That was more important than dealing with the leader of a country that's under siege on all sides and on the brink of attacking Iran's nuclear program, if you don't think that's about to happen. It'd be nice to be thinking that, but the world doesn't think that. There's a naval armada right now representing 20-some nations in around the Gulf of Hormuz because they're worried that there's an attack that's imminent and a lot of things going on there. They want to keep the Straits of Hormuz there, the Persian Gulf, open for the oil to go through because they're worried that if Israel attacks Iran, that the Iranians will do everything they can to close shipping through the Gulf there or through the Straits of Hormuz. So pray for the situation in the Middle East. All right. Well, let's get back to our calls here. We can be reached 888-677-9673. Get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Roy in Barberton up next. And Roy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to Late Night Live.
How you keep justifying America with its treatment of the Indians and the blacks?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll add to that. Let me address that a little bit here. As somebody who does have some Indian blood, and certainly my wife has some Indian blood, so at least a little bit of connection there. Here's the thing: America is a country that has flaws. But it's also a great country, and when we think about America's treatment, let me recommend a really good book for you, Roy. It's called Unfounded Loyalty, and I believe the author is Wayne Perlman. And Wayne Perlman is a black reporter, investigative reporter, who really looked into the very issues that you were raising. He talked about some of the things that our country has done. I mean, we fought a civil war. I've got ancestors that were on both sides of the Civil War, and we fought a civil war in this country, and a large reason for the Civil War, I know there were other reasons, states' rights and all that, but the states' rights had to do with the issue of slavery. And our country fought a civil war to end slavery, and certainly not too many other countries fought a civil war to end slavery. And we had a lot of people in this country that did everything they could to try to eliminate slavery peacefully, and eventually it resulted in a civil war. We have countries in the Middle East, for instance, that Islamic countries along in the Middle East and Northern Africa were some of the main instigators of the slave trade. In fact, some of the greatest black slave trade in the world today, and blacks by no means were the only people to ever be enslaved. Just about everybody was enslaved. I have some Irish and Scotch ancestry, and if you're familiar with St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick of St. Patrick's Day was captured by Irish slavers. He lived in Scotland, and he was taken to Ireland where he was a slave until he escaped. And then, of course, if you're familiar with the hymn Amazing Grace, the Newton that wrote the song Amazing Grace, he was a slave trader at one time. Then he himself was later sold into slavery, and he was a slave in Northern Africa until he escaped. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who've been slaves. The Jewish people certainly were slaves in times in their history, and God led them under Moses out of Israel because they were serving as slaves there. But in some parts of the world, I believe it's the Sudan today, the people in the north of Sudan are still carrying on a black slave trade where they're taking the northern part of Sudan are Islamic. And the population of the southern part of Sudan, which is primarily black and Christian, is routinely being raided, and people are being taken as slaves. And it was up until recent years that some of the countries in the Middle East and in North Africa, not until like within the last 10, 20 years, finally banned slavery. And so you really can't single out America and say that America is a terrible country because of their treatment of blacks and Indians. And certainly one of the things that we did in the early days of our country, and I'll certainly admit that not everything that we did in treatment of the Indians was right, because you had a lot of unsaved people who were motivated by greed and all of that. But a lot of people don't realize that the first book published in languages of some of the Indians was the Bible. And it was done because George Washington requested that the United States Congress set about a certain amount of money to publish the Bible in some dialects of some of the English or some of the Indian tribes, so that they could receive the Word of God, so that they could hear the gospel, and so that Christianity could spread into some of the Indian peoples. And so, you know, we look at stuff like that. We have flaws, and we had some things that could have been done better in the initial days of our country, still could be done better today. Quite frankly, I would rather live as a minority in America than I would as a minority in, say, Saudi Arabia. It's really no comparison. But not every place is perfect, because we live in an imperfect world. And that's where we're called as Christians to be salt and light. The Bible says we're all of one blood. Move on from the topic, it's kind of interesting that it was with the rise of Darwinism that you got this idea of different races propagated more, and they said it was, I shouldn't say it they arose at that time, but it was given scientific legitimacy, because the rise of Darwinism allowed, for instance, the white British origin people in Australia to view the Aborigines of Australia as subhuman. And as a result, there were Aborigines that were actually captured and displayed in the London Zoo back in the 1800s as a pre-human race. And that sort of stuff was justified under Darwinianism. They were considered less evolved. And look at Hitler in the mid-20th century with the master race, as well as the Japanese idea of a superior race in the mid-20th century. And they really believed that they were superior because they were more evolved than the rest of us. And I say the rest of us because most of my background is, British ancestry of various types, and the Germans called the British a mongrel race. And they said that we were polluted because we were a mixed race, different things. And so, it's that secular mindset. It's that that Darwinian mindset. It's that mindset that's anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible that has fostered the division between races. You look at some of the people, such as the Reverend Jesse Jackson and others, who are reverend in name only, and their whole life is dedicated to stirring up hatred and envy and trying to stir people against each other, and trying to push people apart and divide this country rather than unite this country. And there's people, black, white, and everything in between, that have given their lives to try to bring people together in this country, recognizing that we're all created by God, and to live up to the noble ideal that was enshrined in the Constitution, that all men are created equal. And just because we've had ignorant people and greedy people and things like that who did not believe that and wanted to fight against that and go contrary to that, you can't condemn America for that. I like what I heard somebody say one time, of all the nations in the world today, if you were a little country somewhere out in the middle of nowhere and you woke up in the morning and you saw the navy of a particular nation massed right off your coast, would you breathe a sigh of relief, or would you be a little leery? And if you saw that they were flying American flags, you'd probably breathe a sigh of relief. And I really, I've lived in the South Pacific. I've lived in England, and I've traveled around and met people from different countries. And I'm sorry, America, with all its flaws, I still think is the greatest nation in the world today. But it certainly isn't perfect, because it's made up of imperfect people, sinners, and we're all sinners. The Bible says, as some of us have found grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we try to be salt and light to improve our country. So it's easy to condemn America, but it's a lot harder to try and work together to build America up and to make us a Christian nation, as our coinage says, one nation under God. And well, I appreciate that call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have, I think we have Ken in Cleveland up next. Ken, are you there?
Yeah. That's not Wheatland, though. How you doing?
Hi. Good. Good. Ken, welcome. Good to hear from you
Pastor
tonight.
Now, do you take calls still like you used to when you go off the line?
No, we don't have time. Actually, we really...
I mean, before, you know, after you're through with on radio here, you used to pick up calls and still answer the question
Not generally speaking, because generally we don't have time. And so that's, you know, being on as late as we are, it's... got to get up early in the morning, you know, work and things like that.
Did you get those messages I left on your cell phone the other day?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And let me just make a quick mention of that.
You're
there was a longest running court case in history of the federal courts. And Ken, you can probably mention, I guess they finally ruled and said it needs to be wrapped up, didn't they? I saw it online. I went and looked for it last Friday night. But I have trouble hearing you there, Ken.
I'm here. I'm going to get you on the radio and say, can you hear me now?
Okay. I've been listening to you fine.
Oh, okay. So. That's fine. I'm just barely picking you up, so I'm going to turn the radio back on so I can hear you better. But that's okay.
Well, when you turn the radio on, you got the delay, and we can't hear what you're saying.
No, I got the radio off. It's been off.
All right. We might have to.
Something wrong with your.
Yeah. Just not getting what we're saying there. Sorry about that, Ken. It's just not coming through clear. I just only getting parts of what you're saying, and can't really understand that. But I just wanted to mention on this court case real quick. That's an answer to prayer, because I remember Ken asking for prayer about that some years ago, and this court case has been in the courts for like 43 years or something like that, and was finally. I guess settled, and now they're waiting for, I guess, a final appeal or something like that. But sometimes when God answers prayer, it takes a while. You know, we get this idea that when we pray, God's got to act right then, right now. And that's what I was thinking about when talking with Ken there, thinking about he had left me a message after our Friday program that they had settled this court case finally. And I thought, you know, it pays to pray. You know, God is faithful. Sometimes we just have to persevere in prayer. God's timing isn't always our timing, and we can't always, you know, expect that God is going to just jump when we snap our fingers. Sometimes God takes time. He's got other things that are going on and other things that are happening, and we don't really know what he's doing or why, and we find out in the long run. I remember when my wife and I went to the Samoan Islands as missionaries. We had done all our deputation as missionaries, and of course, if you're not familiar with the faith missions program, such as we do with independent Baptist churches, and some other groups do it as well, but in faith missions, what we do is we go out as missionaries to various churches, present our burden, and churches agree to help support us in prayer as well as financial and material support. And when we reach enough support level, we go off to the field that we believe God has led us to, as opposed to denominational missions where they just basically give you a salary to go. And when we did all our deputation, we actually did it to go to New Zealand, and about 3 weeks before we were ready to go, we even had our tickets bought, we got closed out of New Zealand. There were some things that were happening there, and the embassy in Washington, D.C. told us that our visas were being canceled, and so we never even got to go. And 3 weeks to go, we were ready to leave, and we prayed what to do, and God led us to go to the Samoan Islands. He opened a door for us there. We got into the Samoan Islands, and we found out, actually, had we known we were going to the Samoan Islands, we probably wouldn't have been very successful, because we could not have, we would have had problems with some of the situations that were going on in the Samoan Islands, that had we known we were going there, it would have defeated us before we could even get there. And so God knew what he was doing, and we just had to trust God and allow him to work things out in his timing. And so we certainly appreciated that. But yeah, is to pray and trust the Lord. Don't give up. And I thought that court case is a perfect example of persevering prayer and waiting on the Lord. Well, we got a couple minutes left on the program, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on. And if we've got a caller, and if you got a question about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, want to mention something else real quick here. Let me reach over here just a moment. We have coming up, Lord willing, this Friday on our Friday program, live with Pastor Al Friday afternoon, 1:30 this coming Friday. That would be the 21st. We should have Dr. Chuck Harding. And Dr. Chuck Harding has a website, awakeamericans.org. That's Awake Americans with a plural. That's an S on the end there. And his vision, his burden, is to get churches in America to intercede in prayer for our country, to get Christians to wake up, to get Christians not only praying for our country's future and what's happening, but to be informed and to make a difference. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And we need to shine as lights in the world. Jesus said, if your gospel be hid, warned about it, our gospel being hid, we need to be a light in a dark place. And, as the world gets worse and worse, and as darkness seems to be encroaching all around, it really is easy to make a difference and to let your light shine. Even the feeblest glow, the feeblest flame can shed quite a light in the midst of a dark place. And if you've ever gotten up in the middle of the night, that little night light in the hallway or something that during the early evening when you got your lights on doesn't seem to make a difference, in the middle of the night with no lights on really makes a difference. And of course, how many people have been someplace in a hotel room or a strange place where you're like somebody's home, you're spending the night somewhere, and you get up in the middle of the night and you don't know your way around. And so what do? You open up your cell phone and use the glow on the cell phone to try and light your path and figure out where you're going. So it doesn't take much light to be seen and noticed in a dark place. And the world is getting darker all the time. And certainly we can make a difference. But the problem is we're not doing things. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's what we're supposed to do for everybody. And he continues, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And think of the elections coming up this fall. We certainly need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer that God will intervene, and that he'll give us the results that we need in the elections, and we will get people that will be favorable certainly to the Word of God and to our position as Bible-believing Christians, also people that be willing to defend our rights and our freedoms. And it seems like they're under attack more than ever at this time. And certainly we need people who are going to be willing to defend us against the Islamic jihad that is being waged against us, no matter how much our leadership wants to ignore it. They say, well, we're not in a war with Islam. Well, Islam divides the world into two houses, the House of Islam and the House of War. And if you're not in the House of Islam, you're in the House of War. So they are at war with us, whether or not we want to admit it. And it's a religion that's dedicated to reaching the entire world with Islam. We need to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al,
Visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.